Second hour on this Thursday morning. Darren McFarland, Derek Mason with you. Willie D will join us in just a bit. He'll probably join us at the bottom of the hour. Let's head down to the borough. Let's bring in MTSU men's basketball coach Nick McDevitt. He is on the line with us. They are on a roll, and this is a big, big night tonight and Saturday night, as tonight they are hosting Marshall, and then Saturday night hosting their rival Western Kentucky, and he now joins us. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me this morning.
I was going to say, if you don't have a smile on your face the way this team's been playing, I don't know how you're going to get it. How pleased have you been with, you know, as you're getting ready close to wrapping up this month? I know it's the last time you lost was at the beginning of the month to UAB, but how nice has this run been since then?
Yeah, you know, our guys have been playing well as of late, you know, really ever since we got back from the Christmas break and conference play has started. We've been really coming along the way we hoped that we would, really on both sides of the ball, and it's allowed us to, you know, we're 11-1 in our last 12 games and playing well as we head down the stretch here. And we're going to need to. You know, we got two tough ones, as you mentioned, to end this week with Marshall tonight and Western Kentucky on Saturday. Then we got to go on the road to Charlotte and Old Dominion next week before tourney play starts. So we got to keep playing well.
That game against Marshall on the road was a crazy one, right? You guys came away with a win by a bucket, but late January, what do you remember about that game that you can maybe use and you've been talking about with your team for tonight's contest?
Well, I think the biggest thing that we did well there was just kind of hung tough. We were actually behind for about 37 and a half minutes off the clock. We only led for about a minute in the game. And I just thought we were kind of, you know, 3, 4, 5 points down for the majority of the game, but never, you know, never down 12, 15, but really trailing for the majority of the game. But our guys never hung our head. They made a couple of big baskets late where we had a single possession game, 2 or 3 points. They made big threes on 2 different possessions that pushed it right back to 5 or 6. And I thought our guys just kept executing on both ends and really came out of there with a great win. And we're going to have to play well again tonight. They're a team that they're big and they're athletic, so they throw a lot of lobs coming out of ball screen coverage, and they shoot a lot of threes. And so you've really got to be able to be good in your ball screen coverage, but also you've got to run them off the three-point line because they got a lot of guys that can and will shoot it.
So what's changed, Nick? This is year 4. I don't think it's any secret. I don't think it went the way you wanted it to go the first 3 years. Why has this season, year 4, been the year it's all come together?
Well, I just think we've been developing both program and team culture, but also just developing our roster. Our first year, we were dressing 8 scholarship players, and 4 of those 8 were freshmen, true freshmen. The next year, at the beginning of the season, we were dressing 9 players. Most of the games this year, we play 9 deep, if not 10 deep. And so just having added depth, we're a little bit bigger and a little bit longer than we've been in the past, a little bit more athletic, and as I mentioned, just a lot deeper. We don't necessarily have a LeBron James on our team where he's your clear-cut number one guy, but also we've got guys at 8, 9, and 10 who it wouldn't surprise many if they started. And so there's just not a drop when we sub, so it's allowed us to play the kind of pace and tempo and defensively, those kind of things that we've wanted to. That you just when you're playing a really short bench and a lot of inexperienced players, it just really limits what you can do. Unfortunately for us this year, we're not in that boat anymore.
Is one of those guys that you're talking about one of those pieces to the style you want to bring and, you know, building the confidence with the team and playing to what you want night in and night out? I've seen you talking about Eli Lawrence a lot. I think he's just a sophomore. What does he bring to the table?
You know, he's just he's a 6'5 athlete. He's kind of a live wire, you know. He's active on both ends of the floor. He can guard multiple positions. He's big for you when you press. He's big and athletic and mobile when you're in zone coverage. So when you've got multiple guys like that, it allows you to guard ball screens in multiple ways. It allows you to play multiple zone defenses. I just don't think you can do a variety of things defensively. Really, when your back – court is small, or if your front court is fairly immobile. And we've been able to put together a roster where our backcourt has some size and length. You know, obviously Eli Lawrence is at 6'5", but Tiafiel Leonard, a freshman for us, is a 6'7 wing. We've got 6'6 and 6'7 forwards that are athletic. So it just allows us to be disruptive on the defensive end of the floor, kind of force tempo and try to keep teams uncomfortable on their offensive end of the floor.
We'll talk with head coach Nick McDevitt of MTSU. They got two big games at home here, Marshall and Western Kentucky. They won Monday versus UTEP toward the end of their season now. Now, Coach, you talked about your big guards and how important it has been to those guys, to you to have those guys be the players that they are defensively and offensively. But not only that, you have three guards that, at least two of them, that go in there and they get rebounds as well. Explain a little bit how important that is, because you typically don't see where your big guards go in there. I think they're second and third on the team in total rebounds.
That's right. And I think those kind of players allow you to beat a multitude of teams, but also in different styles. And what I mean by that is when you play teams that are big and physical and great rebounding teams, you need some help for your bigs from your wing and guard positions to help you rebound against some, you know, 7-foot high volume rebound kind of guys. You know, some teams play that way. They've got 6'8", 6'10", and 7-footers down in the post. And if you're going to ask your bigs, you know, it's just you two to go get it. That's a tall task. So it's important that you've got some athleticism and size in the backcourt to help you against a team like that. But it's also important, maybe two nights later, particularly in this league, you're playing a team that likes to run and gun and press. And you've got to have some backcourt guys that can help you break the press and are big targets in press offense and can handle the ball. So, you know, whether you're playing a team that likes to get up and down and press you, or a team that kind of slows it down and pounds you inside and is high volume rebounding teams, it's those kind of swing players that allow you to beat both kinds of teams.
Now, you're 20-7 overall. 13 of those wins have come at home. I believe you haven't lost a game at home, if I'm correct. How difficult is it playing at the Murphy Center?
Well, obviously, we love playing in front of our fans. You know, when the Murphy Center is packed, it's loud, it's a fun environment. You're correct. We've won all 13 home games this year. We've won 15 in a row, dating back to last year. And our team has really grasped and held on to the concept that we have told all of the teams that I've ever coached, and that is, if you want to win your league, you have to win your home games. You can't be giving up games at home, because winning on the road at a level like this is very, very difficult. Shoot, winning games, period, is difficult. But to go on the road in a league like this and steal games is hard to do. And so in order to negate that, you have to win at home and find a way to go steal some on the road. And our team has done a great job of that so far, of winning all of our home games and finding a way to get some on the road. And that's why we're where we are in the league standings. But we've got to finish it out. You know, we've only got two games left, and it's tonight and Saturday. And if we do that, we'll put ourselves in really good position here as we head down the stretch.
Now, with the three or four games remaining on your schedule, and then you're headed into tournament play, how critical is it for your team not just to get the two wins at home versus Marshall and Western Kentucky, but then you end it with Charlotte and Old Dominion? How important is it going to be headed down the stretch to get this thing really amped up headed into tournament play?
No, I think it's a great point. You know, we could potentially, you know, if we win these two games here, we would lock up being the number one seed out of the East going into the tournament if we win our two home games. But you don't want to pull your foot off the gas next week heading into tournament play. So there's that fine line of making sure you're well rested going into the tournament, but also you don't want to get out of a playing rhythm. And right now, I think, because of how many games we've played over the last 3 weeks, it's allowed us to kind of get into a flow of one or two-day prep at most, and then a game. You know, if you go all the way back to our UAB game, we finished the season with 11 games in 28 days. And so the games are there are no breaks. You know, we're sprinkling in an off day, and then all of a sudden you come off of an off day, and you got one day to prepare for a game. And it's allowed us to get into kind of a routine of what to expect. So we want to kind of keep that routine, obviously, no matter what happens this week as we go into next week at Charlotte and at Old Dominion. Because as you kind of pointed out there, you want to be kind of clicking on all cylinders as you head into tournament week.
Last thing, real quick, I just wanted to ask you, just because they're ranked and they've been a good program for a good while now, and Belmont's about to play them at their place. You played Murray State early in December, and you lost a tough one to them. They're in the top 20 in the country. Nick, how good are they? What did you observe when you played the Racers?
Man, they're really good. And Matt McMahon and really his entire staff are really close friends of mine, but also my entire staff. Some of my assistants have actually worked with on other staffs with the guys that are at Murray. So we're close with those guys. Obviously, it's an old OVC-type game. That's the team we've played the most here at Middle. If you look in the record books, the program that Middle Tennessee has played the most is Murray State. So a lot of familiarity there, not only from us but from our fans. But they are very good. There aren't holes. Matt's done a terrific job with this team. Shoot, I think the last time they lost was at Auburn about 2 months ago. And, you know, there really aren't a whole lot of holes when you look at their team. You know, Tevin Brown's a terrific big shooter on the perimeter. You look at their posts, they're big, they're athletic, they can score on the block. K.J. Williams is terrific. And then you look at their backcourt. I'm blanking on the little guard's name, but, man, is he fast. He's athletic. He's had a couple of big, like, 25-, 30-point games this year. And they're tough to go to Murray and play. And anytime, obviously, Casey's done a terrific job at Belmont. When you can go to Belmont and win by 20, yeah. You've played a well of a ball game, and so they're just really good. You know, they're also mentally tough. You know, they're an older team. I guess it was about 2 weeks ago. They're at Moorhead with just a couple minutes to go, and they're down 9 and ended the game like on a 15-2 run at Moorhead to come back and win the game. Teams that are not that good, clearly you lose that game. You start hanging your head and you walk out of there with the loss. But they kept battling, and I know the folks up there are awfully excited about what they're doing this year. They will be a tough out, whether it's the OVC or the NCAA tournament, for sure.
Well, you're right about that. Not that I didn't know Murray State wasn't good, because, like I said, they've been really good for a long time now. But when you go to the Curb Event Center and win by 20, you certainly get my attention. I'm like, whoa.
No question.
Maybe they're a lot better than I thought.
No doubt. Grayson Murphy, Nick Muzinski, those guys up there are good. And if you can go in there and win like that. And I thought we played well when we went to Murray. I mean, we went up there and scored 87 points.
Yeah.
One of our guards had 31. And, you know, a close 6-point loss. We lost to them 93-87. And I thought we played quite well. And,
yeah.
Clearly, we did as we get to this point in the season, and seeing you lost to a top 20 team on the road by 6. A lot of things went well. You just played against a great team that they, too, played good.
Good luck the rest of the way, and that journey continues tonight at home against Marshall. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, man.
All right, that is Nick McDevitt, MTSU men's basketball coach, Middle and Marshall tonight at 6 o'clock. They will host Western at 6 o'clock down in Murfreesboro on Saturday. We'll come back. More of the DDC next. Special thanks to Nick McDevitt for joining us. Darren McFarland, Derek Mason here with you on this Thursday. Jamie Hirsch at the bottom of the hour, NHL Network. We'll talk some hockey with her. Big night tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Pacarina retirement jersey night.
5:40.
5:40 p.m.
Be in your seats. P.M.
5:40 p.m. Be in there.
I'm checking seats, too. I'm
Derek
checking
will
seats.
We'll be walking around.
Yeah. Make he'll sure have, people in their seats.
He'll be holding his back.
Mm-hmm.
So look for the guy in a white T-shirt holding his back. That'll be him. He'll be making sure, doing a count. Get in your seat by 5:40. 5:45, but 5:40.
It's going to be a great night, man.
It is.
Pekka, retirement, jersey, and then the Predators is going to win. I know they're going to win.
Oh, they're going to win.
I just know that already.
They're going to win.
And I mean that truly. So
you can't lose on Pekka Knight.
No, you can't.
Can't lose on Pekka Knight. They're going to win.
You're right, Derek. They're going to win.
Yes. That was the suit, if you don't know that.
Oh.
Yeah, his suit made a cameo quickly.
In between meetings, huh?
Yeah. Hey, did you see his picture with Pekka?
Mm-mm.
It looks good. He and Pekka standing next to each other. That must have been – that picture must have been taken yesterday because I saw you yesterday. You're still clean cut. But yesterday you had on your – you looking nice. You got on the half zip, the quarter zip. But you had on a button up yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh. So, look good,
fresh,
Chase.
Fresh suit.
Yeah, look good. Look good. You and Pekka – about the same size, height wise. Anyway,
yeah. Easy.
Hey, Chase, I didn't say it. Darren did.
Easy.
I would say, Darren, come to my office after the show. I haven't seen you in like 2 months, so it's okay.
Yeah, but the picture looked good, man. So, are they going to put that up on a big screen?
I doubt it.
Oh, dang it. It's a good picture, man. You might put that as your
profile pic.
Profile pic, yeah.
There you go.
Swipe right.
Yes. That's what I wanted to say, but
I wasn't going
there either.
I wasn't going to go there.
It's on my Hinge profile.
But as we've learned, we don't need to go there. He'll go there
for
us.
Yeah, he'll do it for us. He might get like 400 swipe rights because they think it's Pekka and not him.
Exactly. They're swiping for Pekka, not for me.
Oh, man.
What do you mean your name is Chase? What?
Oh, he's using an alias. But yeah, it's going to be a great night tonight, man. I know the arena is going to be jam packed. A bunch of watery eyes, I'm sure. Bunch of goosebumps.
What time do you need to be in your seat, Derek?
5:40. I know Darren said 5:45. Between 5:40 and 5:45, you need to be in your seats.
That's
true.
Your window.
Yeah, that's your window. Because like Tom Coughlin said, if you're not 5 minutes early, you're late.
Mm-hmm. So, I was wondering if anybody was going to use the Tom Coughlin reference.
If you're 5 minutes early, you're late. So 5:40, people, and I will be checking. Just so you know.
We had Dane Bradshaw on the show yesterday, so it is that time of year as we are getting close to wrapping up the month of February. Next week we'll be in March.
Mm.
That tournaments, conference tournaments, and the NCAA tournament. Anybody see Providence and Xavier last night? That crazy, wild, wacky game? 3 overtimes?
No, Providence just lost a close one the other night, didn't they?
Just bounced back and beat Xavier last night.
They only lost like 3 games all year.
Yeah, they were
10 of those have been one possession games.
Yeah. So,
does Providence belong on that list or no?
No, I think they have been very fortunate to get to where they are now. Ed Cooley deserves some praise and probably will win Big East Coach of the Year because I think it's the first time a Providence team has gotten a 20 wins this fast and has had a record like this in like 2 or 3 decades.
Mm-hmm. He's been there a while now, though. He's been doing a really good job.
He's done, and this is probably his best team overall. But they play with fire a lot. I had this conversation with someone the other day that coached against them, and they play with fire a lot against teams that shouldn't be in with them. Like DePaul squandered a chance to beat them in Providence,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of other bottom feeder teams in the Big East should have beaten Providence this year. But I wouldn't can put him in the list that we mentioned yesterday.
He went 5 straight seasons. I mean, he's been there double digit years. I think this is year 11 for him. He's been there a long time. He's had 6 seasons that he's been there that they've won over 20 games at Providence.
Mm-hmm.
People don't sleep on Ed Cooley, man.
He can coach.
Providence, that's a good program, man. Historically,
they haven't really made any noise in the NCAA tournament. They've been there, but. Mm-hmm. They really haven't made any noise, and I do wonder if, you know, maybe that changes this year. So, but it doesn't sound like, Elijah, you're on board with that. You think they're kind of one game they win, but that's about it?
I mean,
not a Sweet 16 team.
That would be a good goal for them to be Sweet 16. Now, for any other team that's 23-3 and is going to win the Big East regular season outright by 2 games, I feel like those wouldn't be curbed expectations. But for this team specifically, I think if they make the Sweet 16, you can consider it a successful March.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we can tell listening to Elijah that he loves college basketball. And you and Michelle, don't y'all got a?
That's right.
Yeah, y'all doing y'all college basketball
now? It's every weekend? Saturday.
Yeah,
we're
every
doing
Saturday,
it live, 9 to 10, leading up to the Saturday slate of games, which is going to be pretty important here in these next couple weeks as we approach conference tournament season.
So, if you want to know any and everything about college basketball, listen this weekend, Saturday.
There you go. Yeah.
And what time it start?
9 a.m.
9 to 10.
There
we
go.
Come back. We'll talk to Jamie Hirsch from NHL Network. We do that next. It's a Preds Game Day broadcast brought to you by Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens and baths. Go to their website, gohermitage.com. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Remember, we went up to Minneapolis earlier in the week and spoke with Tatum Everett, right, who was the Vikings reporter. And our next guest can relate to the Minneapolis weather. Remember, Tatum told us it was 7 degrees, and I said, well, it's 70.
Yeah, you
here.
Rubbed it in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Big time.
Didn't go over well.
Nope.
Jamie Hirsch is on the line with us. She's going to be in Nashville this week from NHL, or she's going to be in Nashville reporting for the Stadium Series for NHL Network. Plus, you can watch her host On the Fly throughout the season and follow her on Twitter, at Jamie Hirsch. She's also a Minnesota girl, so she can relate. It's not going to be great weather. It's not going to be 70. So, Jamie, I don't think we've brought Minnesota weather, but it is going to be kind of cold.
Yeah, I know. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little disappointed that it was going to be in the 40s, and I think probably, 30s, closer to puck drop.
Yep.
I'm probably going to dress a way that people would raise their eyebrows and say, are you kidding me? This girl's crazy. She's from Minnesota. Like, why does she have this winter down jacket on? Because it is cold. It is legitimately going to be cold, but that's good, right? I mean, it's an outdoor hockey game. You want it to feel like a hockey game. And, you know, with all the rain you guys have been getting, I'm sure they're actually relieved that it's going to just be cold and not raining, hopefully, on Saturday night. Let me just say this. As cold as it may be, it's going to be about 50 degrees warmer than it was in Minnesota on New Year's night for the Winter Classic.
Wow.
And I did that game. I not only did the pregame show for us, but I then actually did the national radio broadcast for Sports USA Radio. And I was a popsicle. It was awful. And again, I'm from Minnesota. Everyone's like, you should be used to it. No, you never get used to cold quite like that. So whatever it is in Nashville on Saturday, I will be totally fine and happy to be doing the pregame and the game again itself. Although for your viewers, they'll be listening to it right here. But for other people outside of Nashville, we'll have the call on Sports USA Radio again.
The Preds played a home game earlier that day, and then I got home that night and watched it. I was just cold sitting in my house watching
what
the Winter Classic.
What blew me away was how many people stayed. And the Wild were down by like 3 goals late in the third period, and it was still packed. And this was dangerously cold. I could not believe the I guess, hardy Minnesotans, maybe dumb Minnesotans is a more accurate description. I mean, those are my people. Those are my people. But, like, that, I don't know. Even though I was getting paid to be there and be outside, I was still running inside as quickly as I can and as often as I could.
Isn't it physically hard to talk, Jamie?
In
watching some of your reports and some of the people that were there, at the ring, doesn't it, like, it's like your mouth freezes up. It's hard to just get words out, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, we ended up having to wear masks for interviews, which was totally fine with me because it kept your face warm. But I took my mask off to do our NHL Network pregame and postgame reports, and it was a noticeable difference where I was like, oh, my gosh, my cheeks are kind of freezing and my lips aren't working the way they're supposed to. I mean, it was a comedy of errors, but, you know, all part of the experience. So Saturday should be much balmier than that and really nice. I'm so looking forward to it. Everything that they put out in terms of the projections and the, you know, the images and talking about some sort of parade that the players are going to be involved with coming onto the ice. I mean, it should just be such a show, which is so appropriate for Nashville.
Derek, Willie and I have been talking to Jamie pre-mom. Now she's got 2 kids. So we've been talking to her for a while. And I know we talked to you in the Stanley Cup run, but I feel like every time you came on the show, Jamie, we were on the road. And so I know you were here in Nashville. Was that the last time You've been into Nashville whenever the run to the Stanley Cup final. When's the last time you were here?
Yeah, you know, it must have been. So, yeah, it's been way too long. And we love Nashville, my family. Actually, I don't know if you remember, I lived there when I was 6 months old. We moved there. My parents moved us there for 2 years. So I grew up the first couple years of my life when I was learning to talk with a very thick A, B, C, D, E, F, G. My childhood videos are like talking about Miss Sharon and like the very southern accent that I had as a small child. And, you know, then we moved back to Minnesota and I started sounding really, really Minnesotan all of a sudden. But it is pretty funny thinking back to my very young childhood days there that I don't really remember, but my dad and mom have told me a lot about. And so when I was there for the Stanley Cup final, my parents were able to go to a game and spend a few days in Nashville too. And we went to, you know, a lot of the old spots that they loved going when they were young parents. And so it's a really special city to me as well. And my husband actually works with a cancer research group down in Nashville too, Tennessee West Oncology. And so he spends a lot of time in Nashville as well. He's going next week, actually. I said he should have just gone earlier and made a fun trip out of it.
Right.
But yeah, all that to say that it's a near and dear place to our hearts, and I'm thrilled to be going back.
You know what wasn't here when you were growing up at a very early age in Nashville? Bridgestone Arena or Nissan Stadium, which is the focus of tonight and Saturday. Those places didn't even exist when you were growing up here. So obviously the town has changed a lot. When you see this Predators team, Jamie, what do you see right now through 51 games?
I see a team that definitely has playoff potential. And, I mean, I think there's really no question that they should be there with the strength of the Central versus kind of the relative weakness of the Pacific. I think the Central should get 5 spots of the 8 when all is said and done in the Western Conference. And so I guess it'll just be vying for playoff positioning, probably between Nashville and Dallas and maybe St. Louis. And so that makes tonight's game huge, right? I mean, I was so impressed by the Preds and the way that they were able to squeak out the win the other night down in Florida. I mean, big save Dave came through, and they just had a resolve that I wasn't really expecting. I mean, that's a really rare place for the visiting team to be able to go in and get a win. The Panthers are so, so good at home. And so for them to get that win was really impressive to me. And then, you know, sets up a really nice week for them. If they can get a win tonight, obviously it's going to be emotional with Pekka's number going up and everyone in the building there. But if they can put that aside and take care of business against the Stars, who are on the second leg of a back-to-back, so that helps the Preds' cause. And then, yeah, if they can fare well against Tampa outdoors, I mean, what a week there for them. And I think they can really raise some eyebrows and start to turn some heads. But I definitely see them as a playoff team. And, you know, I know you guys are the ones that are supposed to be asking the questions, but I got to ask you guys because you were more locked in than we are here on the national stage. What is up with this Philip Forsberg tweet? Because last night we were all like, I don't think so. That seems really odd. That seems like weird timing for them to even have that out there on such a big week for Nashville. So what do you make of that?
Okay, let me scratch that question off the list to ask you because we wanted to know where that came from too. Well, I mean, we know where it came from, but,
well,
you know.
It came from St. Louis, but right. But it right. was, it's, you know, obviously – Jamie, people have been asking around here since that came out, and really, I think they were very surprised by it, and I think they're continuing with what their plan is. Their intention is they would like to sign Philip Forsberg, and so the timing of it is unfortunate with all the other things going on this week.
Well, David Poyle comes on our show every Tuesday, Jamie, and so he's made no secret about it. That, I mean, he just told us recently it was either – Tuesday, or I think maybe it was the week before, that he made no bones about it. I mean, he hasn't run from the subject with us. I mean, we've asked him a ton this year, and he said that he would love to have a deal in place. I mean, before the trade deadline. I mean, he really wants to have something in place. But that, look, to your point, we all saw the tweet, you know, where it came from, St. Louis, and it was like, whoa. You know, so it took everybody back here as well.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. That makes me feel better because we were kind of discussing, like, how big of a deal do we make this on the fly last night? And, you know, we ended up mentioning it, but it certainly wasn't a headline in the show or anything big like that because, you know, I think, you know, I'm not at all disrespecting Andy when I say this, like that is very viable that the name was brought up. But isn't that kind of the big deal around this time of year anyway? I mean, everyone's kind of shopping everyone, because why not? You know, just see, not even, I wouldn't even say shopping. Those conversations are being had, like, by all GMs everywhere, trying to see what the market is for upcoming UFAs and just seeing what the interest is. But that's, I think, a different story than, you know, this guy is on the market and they're trying to get rid of him now, which was a little bit how that read, whether or not he intended it to read like that. And so I also kind of felt like it was unfortunate timing, because now he's going to get asked about it a bunch. And, you know, it's such a big week for other reasons. So we'll see what happens with that. But I'm glad. Thanks for sharing your insight with me, because, like I said, we were at work last night and we're all sitting here trying to figure out what to make of it. And it was confusing on a lot of levels.
We're talking to Jamie Hirsch from NHL Network. You can catch her on the fly. And Jamie, I was watching your coverage overnight. And of course, you guys run it back this morning. You were talking about Dallas's win last night. It was interesting. Dallas, they had some bad weather down there. As I understand it, they couldn't get out of Dallas last night, so they'll be flying in day of game. But they got a really big win against Winnipeg. And you guys were talking about this on your show, that when they get Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn going, along with Roope Hintz and Jason Robertson, now you've got a couple of lines that can really hurt you.
Absolutely. They're definitely in the mix, too, for a playoff spot, I think. You know, they've been inconsistent, I think, Dallas has been, as a team overall, and that's why I'm still not really sold on them as, you know, making a real surge in, you know, being one of the top teams in the Central this year. But I do think that they have enough star pieces, and if they get good goaltending like they've been known to do from Ottinger and Holtby, I think they certainly can be a force to be reckoned with in the playoffs. So it's been so fun to watch Joe Pavelski, right? 37 years old, doing what he's doing still. You know, where I think when he signed a 3-year deal with Dallas, we all thought, oh, that's a nice deal for Joe, a nice way for him to ride off into the sunset. And he has not done that at all. I mean, he'll definitely get another shot either with the Stars or somebody else next year on a new contract, because he's been the heartbeat of that team right now. And it really has been a changing of the guard from the old, you know, Ben and Sagan, Radulov line to now that Robertson line is just so fun to watch. And Joe Pavelski, a huge part of it as well. So they're a good team. You know, we'll see if they can kind of string a few wins together and be consistent. But I like Nashville's chances tonight, just simply because the emotions of Pekka and wanting to win for him, and also just catching the Stars on the second leg of a back-to-back. So we'll see how it all plays out, but I'll definitely be watching from Bridgestone later tonight.
Jamie, before we let you go, just again, tell people that if they're going to be watching some on NHL Network, what you guys will be doing around the Stadium Series game on Saturday.
Yeah, so we'll be starting at 5:30 Central Time. So, you know, game set for around 6:30 or so shortly thereafter on TNT. But so for the full hour beforehand, we're going to have player interviews. I'm going to be with Kevin Weeks, and we'll just be kind of talking a lot about the game, right? A full game preview. And then we also have a crew back here in studio that's going to be adding their thoughts to the mix as well. So we've got a lot planned for it. We've got some special guests. I know the commissioner is, I think, supposed to be joining us, and then we're hoping to get Dierks Bentley too, and he's always so entertaining. You know, obviously he's become a hockey fan in his own right as well. So I think we're going to have a great lineup of guests, and if you know Kevin Weeks, you know he's always entertaining. He'll probably bring a cowboy hat to the set, as he's been known to do, and I'll be there as well. So, yeah, definitely tune in before the game, and then after the game, we'll also have a full one-hour recap show, post-game show on NHL Network. So hopefully we'll see you then.
Looking forward to it. Jamie, always appreciate it. Thanks for the visit. Enjoy your time here, and we'll talk down the road.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Jamie Hirsch, NHL Network, be in town. Of course, Stadium Series tonight, the big game against the Stars. Check out all their coverage, and of course, on the fly, she does a great job throughout the course of the season, at Jamie Hirsch on Twitter. We'll come back, wrap up the second hour, but first, Willie, you're going to tell everybody about Loan Pronto.
All right, let's talk Loan Pronto. Remember, home values are way up. Of course, hopefully, the rink down at Nissan Stadium or any of your houses out there don't start floating down the river here with all this rain we're getting, but that aside, we know home values have been outstanding here for a good while. It's a good time to be a homeowner. And also, it's a great time with mortgage rates. And Loan Pronto wants you to put those two things together and improve your financial situation. Take the money that may be available to you, the home equity, and use it to your advantage. Pay off some credit cards, remodel your house, or do both. Loan Pronto can help you with that. They can convert that home's equity into cash in as little as 2 weeks with no cost to you and zero hassle. It's very much a streamlined process here. It's much easier than it used to be. And so lots of people are having success with it. I've given you the example about the family that took the zero cost cash out refi. They got their check. For them, it was $100,000. It could be a fluctuating amount, could be something a little bit smaller, whatever that you have in that home's equity, you can put to your advantage. This couple used 50 grand to pay off all their credit card debt and a car loan that they had, took the other 50K and reinvested in their home with a new kitchen. They locked in a new APR in the twos and lowered their monthly bills by hundreds of dollars. So you can do this as well. Even skip your next two house payments. 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go online at loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval, not all loans apply.
Our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD products curated for life. Pecorine, Jersey retired tonight, special night. Derek, when should you be in your seats?
5:40.
What's your window to be in your seat?
5:40 to 5:45 p.m. tonight. Hey, if you're 5 minutes early, you're late.
There you go. Get in your seat.
Be in your seat.
We're not even telling you about puck drop.
Exactly. Irrelevant. Don't even worry about what time the puck drop.
Because you're going to be in your seat way before then. So don't worry about puck drop.
Because you're going to need to gather yourself after Pecorino. After you see him and he comes out in a jersey retire, you're going to have to – you're going to need some time to gather yourself for the game,
all right?
Because emotion is going to be there. So 5:40, 5:45, I prefer you get there at 5:40. Darren is being nice. He's saying 5:45 p.m. tonight. But I'm saying 5:40 because Willie will be there early.
I'll be there early. I will. Uh-huh. And Derek, it sounds like you played for a coach that scared the living daylights out of you. Saying, you know what, you better not be late. So
Nick Saban,
you better be there 5 minutes. I was Eddie Fogler, man. Yeah. He was like, that bus will roll, man. If you're not on there, we are not waiting for anybody.
Nick Saban, if you wasn't there, whoo, man. Especially early morning workouts in the spring. If you wasn't in that door and on that field by 6 o'clock a.m., you wasn't straggling in at 5:59. Nah, uh-uh.
Yeah. Mm-mm. You didn't want to test that.
Oh, no. No.
All right, we're going to have Steve Sullivan join us to begin the third hour, but let's talk about the tweet that went out yesterday after our show. Andy Strickland, early evening last night, tweeting out, hearing the Preds are actively shopping superstar Philip Forsberg. This is coming out of St. Louis. Andy Strickland is the Blues rink reporter. I think he also has a radio show or is a part of a radio show in St. Louis, so it was pretty interesting because I think what jumps out to me is I didn't see anything anywhere else. And so that's always alarming to me. It's like, wait a minute. So where are the big guns? Where's our man Elliot Friedman? You know? Where's Pierre LeBrun? Where are those guys? Aaron Dreger. Where is the big guns that, you know, report the story? So I thought that was a little strange. But anyway, I'm not here to we can discuss that. We're going to discuss it. The other layer to this is it's the wording that is interesting to me. He did say that he says they're actively shopping. That means David Poile is picking up his phone and just calling GMs and going, hey, you want Philip Forsberg? What are you willing to give us? When you say actively shopping, that means David Poile is the aggressor. It's not like teams are calling him and he's fielding calls, right? Which I would expect that to be going on. But when you say actively shopping, to me, that kind of changes the narrative. I don't know the validity of this tweet. I'm not here to dispute it one way or the other. I think it took everybody back in this market. But those are the two layers that really jump out to me is where's all the big guns? Where are the big boys? Why aren't they reporting this or coming up over this initial tweet and the wording of the tweet, actively shopping?
Willie, before I let you really get into this because obviously you know more about that world than I do, and especially when you're talking free agency and a movement, a possible movement or the signing of Forsberg. But how I see it is, I mean, Pollo has to do his job. And if they haven't gotten a deal done yet, you don't want to be caught. It's like the emperor with his pants down. You don't want to be caught like that. You want to have contingency plans in place. You know, if we can sign him, that's our priority, is to sign Philip Forsberg. By all means, we need to do that. But if we get closer and closer to that deadline and it doesn't seem like that's going to happen, then I, as a GM, needs to be responsible and make sure that I have plans in place that if we can't sign a deal, then this is what I need to do for the team. First and foremost, we need to sign this guy. But if we can't, then as a GM, I got to do my job. That's sort of how I see it. And you're right, D-Mac. Maybe it's the wording, you know, that's kind of got people in arms, in uproar. But I think Pollo has to do his job. Like, listen, we wanted to sign this guy a while back, and we just hadn't got a deal done. I still want to sign him, but I have to be the GM of the Predators as well.
Derek, I think you said it really, really well there. I think you are dead on, and there are conversations that go on, and I would have to say that if the other GMs for other leagues or other teams are doing their job, they're contacting David Poile and just gauging. Yeah, you know, hey, I know Forsberg's a free agent. Tell me where you're coming from.
But that's not what he said. He didn't say that.
He said actively shopping. And so, first of all, Andy Strickland has been around a long time. Mm-hmm. He's covered the Blues for a long time. This is not some Yahoo, right?
Nope.
But it's a one-sentence tweet. And, Darren, you hit exactly what the wording said, actively shopping. That is a gross mischaracterization. I checked on this, okay? And, Darren, you and I, we've talked to David Poile every week. There has never been any inkling from him that they would be doing that, actively shopping. It's a 180 from all of the tone that he's had consistently all along. So I have talked to some people from a number of different angles, not just Predator people, but I've talked to people that know Andy Strickland. I just think I'm not saying he didn't, you know, is trying to stir something up with nothing. I'm sure he's talked to some people, but the characterization of actively shopping is completely off. And so everything I'm told is they are actively continuing to try to sign Philip Forsberg. Nothing has changed at all. And so, Derek, I think if you want to take it down to the different layers, there might have been a little bit of that going on at some point, but that doesn't mean they're actively shopping him. I think this is way off. I think it's way, and you could see the retweets and everything like that, how everybody's antenna would go up there. But they are not actively shopping Philip Forsberg. They are trying to sign Philip Forsberg. They want to get that done. So I just think it's unfortunate the way that they worded that tweet. That's because that's not a fair characterization of what's going on. And this is social media, right? You have a one-sentence thing. It's not a story. There's no sources. There's no detail. And everybody just goes nuts, which is a natural thing. It happens every day.
They have the right to do that.
I mean, absolutely. Yeah,
they have the right
to. Absolutely, they do.
We're not done with this topic, for sure. We're not even close to being done with this topic. But we do have to get out of here, begin the next hour with Sully. Steve Sullivan joins us next.